Good morning. This is Hebrews. We are studying through precept the book of Hebrews, God's Word. And today's study, we are on lesson number 7, and this is Hebrews 9, and we'll also be reading Leviticus 16. And our study today is about the Day of Atonement. So let us begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, how gracious and great and mighty you are. And we come before your throne asking you to teach us and guide us through the Holy Spirit of your truths, of your word, Father. We want to know you more. We want to be able to share your word with all those we come in contact with. So we ask today for your wonderful dividing love and mercy and power to guide us and teach us your word. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, as we start with our study today, we want to look at how that we have already learned the things in the first four chapters. That's the first part of our study. We learned in those first four chapters that God spoke in His Son, and that He is better than angels, and that we're to listen to Him. And also, the Hebrew writer said, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts in unbelief. And then we are studying now in the second part of our study, and that includes chapter 5 through chapter 10, verse 18. And in this study, we're going and have studied already that Jesus, the Son, is our great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and that we have learned that we're to press on to maturity. In our study, in the second part, we're going to learn about Jesus, our better priest. We're going to study, and we have already studied about the covenant and the tabernacle. And today our study is about the covenant, the tabernacle, the sacrifice, and the offerings, and how that Jesus, our great high priest, is able to save forever. And the last part of our study will be in Hebrews 10, verse 19 through chapter 13, verse 25. And this study will be of general and specific exhortations, and it will encourage these Hebrew Jews that have become believers to draw near in confidence and to live by faith. It also speaks to us, and we too are going to be encouraged to live by faith. Let's begin our study today. If you will turn in your Bible to Leviticus chapter 16. Now, this is a lot of reading, but it tells us how that the tabernacle was set up in the Old Testament. And we need to understand this in order to understand the tabernacle and the new covenant. So I'm going to begin, and I will read as rapidly as I can, but I want you to be very attentive to how that the tabernacle was set up according to God and given to Moses. And I'll read with verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. Now I want to explain that before we go in any further. Verse 1 is referring to the death of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. They offered strange fire before the Lord, and they were killed when fire came out of the tabernacle on them. So that gives you what this first verse is referring to. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, or he will die, for I will appear in the cloud on the mercy seat. Aaron shall enter the holy place with a bull for sin offerings and a ram for burnt offerings. He shall put on the holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarments shall be next to his body, and he shall be girded with the linen sash and attired with the linen turban. These are holy garments, and then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the sons of Israel 2 male goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And then Aaron shall offer the goat on which the lot for the Lord fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot of the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, to send it into the wilderness as the scapegoat. And then Aaron shall offer the bull of a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household. And he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. He shall take a fire pan full of coals and fire from under the altar before the Lord, and 2 handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. He shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony. Otherwise he will die. Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat. On the east side, also in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. And then, verse 15, then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sons of Israel, because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins, and those he shall do for the tent of meeting which abides with them in the midst of their impurities. And when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, no one shall be in the tent of meeting until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. And then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and it shall take some of the blood of the bull and of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar on all sides. With his finger he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it 7 times and cleanse it, and from the impurity of the sons of Israel consecrate it. Verse 20, and when he finishes atoning for the holy place in the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And he shall lay on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to a solitary land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. And then Aaron shall come into the tent of meeting, take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. He shall bathe his body with water in a holy place, and put on his clothes, and come forth, and offer his burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. And then he shall offer up in smoke the fat of the sin offering of the altar. The one who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. But the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be taken outside the camp. And they shall burn their hides, their flesh, and their refuse in the fire. And then the one who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. Verse 29. This shall be a permanent statute for you in the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month. You shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you, for it is the day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you, and you will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement, for he shall thus put on the linen garments, the holy garments. Verse 33, and make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. He shall also make atonement for the priests and all the people of the assembly. Now you shall have this as a permanent statute to make atonement for the sons of Israel for all their sins once every year. And just as the Lord has commanded Moses, so he did. So, what do we see then happen on the Day of Atonement? Aaron, or whoever the high priest was, entered the holy place, the Holy of Holies, to make atonement for that year. And there was an order that he had to be carefully to observe, or he would die. On the Day of Atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month, the priest followed the commands of the Lord to enter the holy place and make atonement for himself and the people, the holy place, and the tent of meeting. It was a day of humility, psalmody, and no work. It was a day of cleansing. And Aaron washed as he was directed, and put on the holy clothes of the priest. And then he brought a bull and a ram for himself and his household. And he took 2 male goats and a ram from the congregation, and he offered a sin offering for himself and his household. And then he took incense from the gold altar and put it in a censer and took it before the Lord in the Holy of Holies. And the cloud of it covered the mercy seat. And Aaron, the high priest, sprinkled some of the blood of the sacrifice on the east side of the mercy seat and then in front of it seven times. And then we read that he presented two goats before the Lord and cast lots for them, sacrificed one, and made the other one a scapegoat. And he sacrificed the goat for the people's sins and did the same with the blood as he had done for his own sin offering. And he also sprinkled blood on the bronze altar to cleanse it. And then he took the live goat, laid his hand on its head to symbolize the sins of the people passing to the goat. And then that scapegoat was sent into the wilderness and let go there. And then the priest removed his holy clothes and made the burnt offerings for himself and the people. And verse 30 of Leviticus says that it was a day for Israel to be cleansed from their sins. Now, what we want to do now is to look at Hebrews 9 that we've studied last week, and we want to compare what Leviticus in the Old Testament under the law had to do to carry out the Day of Atonement. And so we're looking now, let's look at the first five verses of Hebrews 9. I'm not going to read all the verses, but I want us to see that the tabernacle was a part of the first covenant, the old covenant, the law. Reading verse 1, now even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand, the table, the sacred bread, and this was called the holy place. And behind the second veil, a tabernacle that was called the Holy of Holies, and having a golden altar of incense and of the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod, which bloomed, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. So we learn then that God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai, and he gave him the pattern for the tabernacle. In verse 4 of Hebrews 9, it tells what was inside the ark. And I just read it was a gold jar with manna, and it was Aaron's rod, his staff, which budded, and the tables or tablets of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now, let's go on and look at verses 6 through 10 of Hebrews 9. These verses tell of the priest's duty in the holy place, the outer tabernacle. But only once a year the high priest enters the Holy of Holies to offer blood for his and the people's sins, the sins that they had committed in ignorance. And in verse 8 it says, the Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. That is saying that the way to God's presence had not been revealed, not opened up when the holy place was a part of the tabernacle. The way is through Jesus, and the tabernacle was a symbol for the way to God at the present time when the book of Hebrews was written. Neither the gifts nor the sacrifices made under the old covenant could make the worshiper perfect or complete in conscience. Let's look now at Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 14. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So now what are these verses saying? Jesus' entrance into the heavenly places cleansed the conscience of those that believe in him and cleansed from dead works of the law to serve the living God. Verse 12 speaks of redemption, eternal redemption. So let's go on now and read in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 28. For this reason, he, Jesus, is a mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must be a necessity be the death of one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead. For it is never enforced while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you." And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. Verse 22, and according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, Jesus. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly wait him. So what have we learned from these verses? They're about Jesus as our mediator of a new covenant. His death, his blood, inaugurated the new covenant. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. In verse 21, it said, the priest sprinkled the tabernacle and all of its vessels with the blood of sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. The heavenly things are cleansed with better blood than that of the animal sacrifice. They are cleansed with Jesus' blood as he entered the heavenly holy place to appear in God's presence for us. He only needed to make one sacrifice for all time. His blood, Jesus' blood, is perfect as a sacrifice for the sins of many. And then we saw in verse 28, it tells us that he is going to return to the earth at his second coming. So, are we eagerly awaiting for Jesus to come? We know that he is our great high priest, and we know that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He has died for our sins. And we know that God has made him over all things. If you go back and read in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we saw that Israel trusted in the ark instead of the Lord. And at one time in this fourth chapter of Samuel, they brought it out of the tabernacle at Shiloh to the battlefield when they were in battle with the Philistines. But God let the Philistines defeat Israel and take the ark. And at the end of chapter 4, verse Samuel, the Philistines captured the ark that was interpreted as God's glory departing from Israel whenever they took the ark. And this came about because of the repeated sins of adultery of these Israelites and turning away from God. So Jesus is the glory of God, and he dwelt among us for a time in the body of flesh. And we know that he was crucified and then resurrected. And then he ascended to the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. He is full of grace and truth. And we know because he died for our sins, he shed his blood. It was the shedding of Jesus' blood that covered our sins because he was without sin. And now he is in heaven. He has brought us redemption. He has brought us back with the Father. And because of this, we too can look forward to the day that he will return and take us home with him. And as we studied in Revelation, this is the rapture, that he will come for his bride, and the church is his bride. So we know, after we've studied this a day of atonement, that God cleanses the hearts of those that draw near him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." But those that turn away are facing judgment, because the judgment is going to be the wrath of God that is a consuming fire. And now the Lord Jesus is seated at God's right hand as our merciful and faithful high priest. And each one that has responded in belief, whenever they heard his voice, they too have a place prepared in heaven one day, that we will be in his presence in all of his glory. So I hope and pray that each of us have learned through our study of seeing what the Day of Atonement was under the law, and how that Jesus fulfilled that law by coming and becoming our great high priest and shedding his blood to cleanse us. The Day of Atonement for us is Jesus. That's the only way. So let us close in prayer. Father, we praise you for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our great high priest. We praise you and thank you and thank Jesus that he loved us so much that he was willing to become our sacrifice. He paid our sin debt in full by the shedding of his blood. And we give you all the praise and all the honor. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.